Hare Krishna. So today we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter number 12, entitled The Expansions of Advaita Acharya and Gadadhar Pandit. On the board is 1249. So I'll just read the English to the previous three verses and then we'll recite this together. Text number 46. We are reading the pastime, wonderful pastime of Kamalakanta Vishwas. Text number 46. Hearing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu laughed with satisfaction and immediately called Kamalakanta Vishwas. Advaita Acharya then said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Why have you called back this man and allowed him to see you? He has cheated me in two ways." Text number 48. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, his mind was satisfied. Only they could understand each other's minds. So text number 49, we'll chant responsively. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Kamalakanta, "You are a baliya, one who does not know things as they are. Why do you act in this way? Why do you invade the privacy of Advaita Acharya and damage his religious principles?" Purport. Kamalakanta Vishwas, out of his ignorance, asked the king of Jagannath Puri, Maharaj Prataparudra, to liquidate the 300 rupee debt of Advaita Acharya. But at the same time, he established Advaita Acharya as an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is contradictory. An incarnation of the Supreme Godhead cannot be indebted to anyone in this material world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is never satisfied by such a contradiction, which is technically called rasabhas, or overlapping of one humor, rasa, with another. This is the same type of idea as the contradiction that Narayan is poverty-stricken, Daridra Narayan. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Omagyanati mirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuran militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama om vishnupadaya krishna prasthaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swami niti namine namaste saraswati deve gauravani pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Dishatanine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhanitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So with your permission, I'll try to share a few words on this text and purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Today the class will end a little early, lucky for you. We'll finish at 8:15. So in the time we have, I'll try to say, let's see where we go with Srila Prabhupada's purport here. So we're reading the pastime of Kamalakanta Vishwas. I'll come back to this pastime and the purport, but you may or may not know the percentage of atheists that are there in the world now. What percentage of the world population do you think is atheist? Registered atheist. Anyone want to have a guess? 89% atheist. 40? 35? Much lower. Only 14% of the world is registered as atheist. Of course, statistics, you can find a statistic for anything, isn't it? Just like you can find a Prabhupada quote for anything. But according to the latest statistics, only 14% of the world's population say they are an atheist. That means 86% of the world believes in God. So then if 86% of the people in the world believe in God, you look at the world and you think the world should be a better place than what it is, isn't it? This statistic may not tell the full story. You see, just as within the Vedic tradition, within the Vaishnava tradition, there are many sampradayas, isn't it? Even within the atheistic tradition, there are different sampradayas. There are different sampradayas of atheists. First type of atheist, which I would say is the most popular, is someone called a default atheist. Someone who doesn't believe in God because they never really just took the time to really think about it. Isn't it? Most people are like that. They don't really think about the big questions in life. Like if you would say to them, you know, what is the purpose of life? Why are we here? Why do bad things happen to good people? They would say, well, you know, come on, be practical. Don't ask airy-fairy questions. We've got to put food on the table, we've got to pay the bills, we've got to look after the kids, live in the real world. So most people don't really think about these things. And therefore they are called atheists out of default. Yeah, they say 10% of people in the world think, 20% of people in the world think they think, and 70% of people in the world would rather die than think. Because it's hard work to think, isn't it? Like to try to get your head around the universe, why are we here? Most people are just atheists by default. This is one category of atheist. Then another category of atheist is called a philosophical atheist. Someone who really thought about it. Someone who investigated scientific theory and philosophies and concluded that now we have found the answers and we don't need God in the picture because we've answered everything outside of needing an explanation of God. Yeah. So you find there are people in the world like this. Yeah. Of course, atheism in its sense, I was thinking about this the other day, that atheism doesn't actually make much sense because the first step of atheism in itself is a great contradiction. I'll explain what I mean. According to atheism, the first principle of atheism is that there is no being in the world that knows everything. Isn't it? That's what atheists would say. There is no being in the world that knows everything. Having established that, what does the atheist then go and do? They make a confident, bold assertion that there is definitely no God. Hang on. Your first proposition was that there's no one in the world who knows everything. And your second proposition is that there definitely isn't a God. But if you are in the world, then you don't know everything either. So how can you boldly assert that there is no God? Doesn't make any sense. And therefore, we may call these people philosophical atheists, but actually they're not very philosophical at all. Yeah. I remember once actually I was coming back from Soho Temple. I had just listened to a Bhagavad Gita class, so I was in a very, maybe a more philosophical state of mind. So then I came to university, and then there was a big demonstration going on. Stop the war. So then someone jumped out in front of me and gave me a leaflet and said, stop the war. Here, join the demonstration. So I looked at this person and I said, explain. He said, well, there's so much warfare going on in the world and so many people are dying. So then I looked at this person and I said, what happens when we die? So, I mean, wasn't expecting that one. He said, well, when we die, we just go back into the ground. chemicals back into the ground. So I said, are you saying we're just chemicals? He said, yeah. So then I said, if we're just chemicals, what's the difference if I empty a can of Coke into the sea or if I throw you in the sea? Because the can of Coke is chemicals, you're chemicals. If everything's matter, then nothing matters. And he said, no, wait, let's think about this. You know, I'm a human, I'm something more. Yeah, you're something more. You can speak, you can move, you can smile. You can't smile if you like. But ultimately, you're just chemicals. So why does it even matter? Why are you even out here in the cold demonstrating to save chemicals? Why aren't you campaigning to save all the Coke cans? No, there's a difference. What's the difference? So even atheists, philosophical atheists, they're not actually that philosophical at all. But we'll give them the title out of Vaishnav generosity today. So there are default atheists. There are philosophical atheists. Prabhupada said there are also covered atheists. Prabhupada said, Mayavad is covered atheism. Strong statement. Why is Mayavad atheism? You see, God is here, up here. And living beings are down here. Yeah? What atheism, philosophical atheism, does is it pulls God down to this level. There's no distinction. God and us, we're all the same, we're all material. This is what philosophical atheism does. Takes God from here down to here. We're all material, no distinction. Mayavad, or impersonalism, what does that do? That takes all the living beings from here to here. We're all God. We're all spiritual. And therefore, whether you're here, philosophical atheism, or you're here, Mayavad, is basically all atheism, because what have you done? You've removed the distinction between the living being and God. So either atheists are trying to be God on this level, or Mayavad are trying to be God on this level, but they're all trying to be God and take God out of the picture. And therefore, Prabhupada said, Mayavad is covered atheism. And therefore, he spoke very strongly about Mayavad. Mayavadi Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, everything, there is nothing, there is only Brahman. I said, the only thing, the only place there is nothing is in between the two ears of an impersonalist. And then people would not like it. They would say, you're discriminating. Why are you making such discrimination? Prabhupada said, I don't make any discrimination. I criticize all of these Mayavadis equally. So Prabhupada spoke so strongly against covered atheism. So many, isn't it? So many sampradayas of atheism. Shall I tell you another type of atheism? Transcendental atheism. Heard of this one? The residents of the spiritual world are so much in love with Krishna, are so much covered by Krishna's spiritual energy that they don't perceive Krishna to be God. Isn't it? In Rupa Goswami's Padyavali, he quotes Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, who says, we are not logicians. We are not eloquent debaters. We are not scholars of the Vedanta. We are the simple servants of a rascal cowherd boy. That's very nice. This is the vision of Ragatmika Bhaktas, very advanced devotees. They don't see Krishna as God. They just see Krishna as a rascal cowherd boy. This is a much, much more noble type of atheism, known as transcendental atheism. Now, I don't think any of us in this room would prescribe to any of these categories of atheism, isn't it? I don't think anyone in this world is a default atheist. I don't think anyone in this room is a philosophical atheist. I don't think anyone in this room is a Mayavadi. There may be some transcendental atheists in this room, I don't know. I can't judge your spiritual advancement. So these categories of atheism may not relate to us. But there is another category of atheism that may well relate to us. And this category of atheism is known as psychological atheism. In this pastime of Kamalakanta Vishwas, Srila Prabhupada, through his purports, is teaching us about something called psychological atheism. I'll explain. Kamalakanta Vishwas is the secretary of Advaita Acharya. He has close association with Advaita Acharya. One day, what Kamalakanta Vishwas does is he sends a letter to the king of Orissa, Maharaj Prataparudra. Shishirada Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshmananaman ki jai. Kamalakanta Vishwas sends a letter to Maharaj Prataparudra. In his letter, he writes, Advaita Acharya is an incarnation of God. Excellent. Brilliant. 10 out of 10. Full marks in the Bhakti Shastri test. Philosophically perfect. But then what does he write in the very next line? And dear King, I want you to know that Advaita Acharya has her 300 rupee debt, and I want you to liquidate that debt. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears about this, he is outraged. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, first you say he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then you forget his supremacy. Then you fail to acknowledge his supreme ownership and dominion over everything in the universe, and you think he's a debtor? Prabhupada says, this is contradictory. On one hand, we accept Krishna philosophically, but then on another hand, in our life, we act in such a way as to forget the supreme position of Krishna. This is known as psychological atheism. Philosophically, one says, I believe in Krishna. When one is asked their spiritual position or what they have faith in, then they answer all the questions correctly. But then in our life, we act in such a way as to forget about Krishna. We don't actually believe and perceive Krishna on a deep level interacting with us within our life. This is known as psychological atheism. So 14% of the world's population may say, I am atheist. But the 86% of the world's population that say they believe in God, a good portion of them may well be psychological atheists. I studied at UCL, and very close to UCL campus is Russell Square. And I used to go to Russell Square regularly to chant rounds. And in Russell Square, I always used to remember a famous pastime of Srila Prabhupada. That Srila Prabhupada was one time walking through Russell Square with his devotees. There were sannyasis, there were GBCs. On this particular morning walk, Srila Prabhupada wasn't speaking much. He was chanting, and the devotees were also following along, chanting behind him. While walking through Russell Square, at one point Srila Prabhupada stopped. He dug his cane into the ground. He turned round and he looked at all the devotees and he said, there's only one problem. So everyone was thinking, What's the problem? Is it me? Am I the problem? What's the problem? Srila Prabhupada penetratingly looked at all the devotees and he said, there's only one problem. And the problem is that you don't believe that Krishna exists. That was like a bombshell. Here were devotees that had given up their lives. Here were devotees that had completely adopted the lifestyle of Vaishnavism. Here were devotees who were making great sacrifices to serve Krishna. And here was Srila Prabhupada saying, the problem is you don't believe Krishna exists. In this simple statement, Srila Prabhupada opened up the possibility that many devotees may not have thought about before. The possibility that I can be practicing spiritual life, I can be ascribing to this philosophy, I can even adopt all the practices of sadhana bhakti and still forget that Krishna actually exists. And therefore, one time one devotee came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, sometimes I forget Krishna. Prabhupada says, you always forget Krishna, and sometimes you may remember. Sometimes you may remember. It's very interesting. Psychological atheism means we're very close to Krishna, but still very, very far away. I'll make a public confession here. We'll just keep it within this room and the thousands of people on the internet. We travel around the UK and we do book distribution. And one time we were traveling in Leicester and I was staying in the home of one congregation member. So I woke up that day and I was chanting japa downstairs in the living room. Nice big living room. And in the living room, there was a huge picture of Krishna Balaram. Huge. Beautiful picture in a glass frame. So I was walking up and down, pacing up and down, as I would pace up, and then I would pace down towards the picture of Krishna Balaram, and then I would pace up again, down, up, and down. Krishna Balaram's merciful glance. After about 1 hour of japa, I was walking back to the picture of Krishna Balaram, walking towards the picture. And as I reached the picture, I stopped. And in that moment, I realized something. I realized something very, very revealing. For 1 hour, I was chanting japa, walking straight back at this picture of Krishna Balaram. Right there, Krishna Balaram was there, their merciful glance, their beauty. But as I was pacing for 1 hour towards this picture of Krishna Balaram, instead of seeing Krishna Balaram, instead I realized after 1 hour that for the past hour, as I've been pacing towards this picture, all I've been looking at is my reflection in the glass of the frame. At that moment, I stopped and I thought, this is the story of my life. This is the story of my life. Krishna is right there. But I'm still absorbed in myself. I'm still concerned about my desires, my world, my future, my happiness, my enjoyment. Right there in front of Krishna Balaram, so close. But yet, in consciousness, so far away. And this is basically what psychological atheism is. We're living, we're very close to Krishna. But still in our consciousness, we're very, very far away. And therefore, when we point fingers at atheists, we may want to also look a little bit within our own selves to see that maybe that tendency is also plaguing our life. So somehow or other, the process of Krishna consciousness is a process by which we have to feel the personal presence of Krishna at every moment in our life. Krishna consciousness doesn't mean just to philosophically accept Krishna, but to experience the personal presence of Krishna at every moment in our life. When you start associating with devotees, many things actually amaze you about devotees. When I started associating with devotees, the first thing that amazed me about devotees is that they could sleep anywhere. A devotee would just sit down for 2 minutes and boom, they'd be gone, you know. Or even sleeping standing up. That was like a new phenomenon, you know. Only devotees can do that. So when I associated with devotees, then many, many things struck me about the devotees. But you know one thing that struck me, which I found amazing about devotees, is how in their daily speech, their normal speech, they would just talk about Krishna. Oh, Krishna arranged this. Oh, Krishna's playing tricks on us. Oh, Krishna, he made me forget that. And when they would speak like that, that was like a revelation to me. In my life, I always thought of God to be someone very removed, someone very serious, away. But devotees would speak about Krishna in a way that Krishna was just very personal, and Krishna was very, very much present in their life. And I realized this is actually Krishna consciousness. Again, I repeat, to feel the personal presence of Krishna in our life. And so, I guess what I'm trying to do today through this pastime of Kamalakanta Vishvas for my own purification is to try to build a meditation around seeing Krishna, not just philosophically, but seeing Krishna practically in our life. Devamita Maharaj, he said a wonderful thing once in a class. He said, "This Krishna consciousness movement is not meant to help people believe in Krishna." Believe in Krishna? That's a very elementary stage, he said. "This Krishna consciousness movement is not meant to just help you to believe in Krishna, but it's actually meant to empower you to experience Krishna every moment in your life." In the beginning, we see Krishna philosophically. This is called Sambandha, but this is only the start. Then we begin to see Krishna practically. This is known as Abhideya. We perform service and we experience some reciprocation with Krishna. And then finally, when that Abhideya matures, we begin to see Krishna spontaneously. This is known as Prayojan. To first see Krishna philosophically, then to see Krishna practically, and then when that matures, you will be able to see Krishna spontaneously. And therefore, this is actually what Krishna consciousness is. Krishna consciousness is not just a set of practices. It's not just a set of activities. But Krishna consciousness is the ability to see how Krishna is personally present in our life at every moment. And Srila Prabhupada was such an example of that, isn't it? One time one devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and said, "Srila Prabhupada, you're fighting so much for this Juhu land in Mumbai. You're fighting so much, going through so many obstacles, going through so many difficulties. Why?" Srila Prabhupada looked at the devotee and said, "Because I prayed to Radha Ras Bihari, I promised them, I prayed to them and I promised them, I will build a temple for you." When Srila Prabhupada made a prayer to the deities, he saw Krishna and he made a promise and he had to hold himself to that, because this was not just a deity, this was Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada saw the deity, he was seeing Krishna. Another time, Jadurani Mataji had painted a wonderful picture of Krishna. And she came to Srila Prabhupada and showed that picture. And in that picture, Krishna was there, and Radharani was there, and Radharani was holding a garland, but Radharani was looking away from Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada was looking at the picture, deeply meditating. And then he said, "Oh, Radharani has another boyfriend? Radharani has another boyfriend that she's looking away from Krishna with the garland?" And then Jadarani's heart dropped. And then Srila Prabhupada says, "No, no, it's okay. Radharani is looking for Jadurani to give her this garland for her wonderful painting of Krishna." But a very nice pastime, because Prabhupada was looking at the picture of Krishna and was seeing Krishna. Prabhupada asked Krishna questions and he heard Krishna's responses. One time someone said, the reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, "How do you pick your leaders in the movement?" Srila Prabhupada said, "Krishna tells me. Krishna tells me." So the reporter was like, so then Rameshwar Prabhu was there, he said, "No, no, what he means is that there's certain principles outlined by Krishna of how you ascertain who is responsible enough to take a position, and this way through the inspiration." Prabhupada said, "What are you talking about? Krishna tells me. Krishna tells me." Srila Prabhupada was traveling the world, speaking to atheists, defeating the philosophy, getting into intricate debates. After one such conversation with an atheist, going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and finally Prabhupada came out, the devotee said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, you are so bold when you argue with the atheists." Prabhupada said, "It's not a question of being bold. How can I believe them when they say Krishna doesn't exist when I'm seeing Krishna every moment? It's not a question of being bold." Prabhupada said, "I'm seeing Krishna, so I know He's there. I don't have to be bold. Like, you're in this class now, and I'm sitting here, and you're seeing me sit here. So if you would walk out of the room and someone would say, 'No, someone else gave class,' you'd say, 'No, no, he gave class.'" They say, "No, no, someone else gave class." "No, no, he gave class. I saw it." "It's not that you're being bold. You saw it. You saw me here, so it's obvious." Prabhupada said, "I'm seeing Krishna every moment." When Srila Prabhupada was alone in Vrindavan, then he composed a wonderful prayer, Vrindavan Bhajan. And there he said in this wonderful prayer, "I'm sitting alone here in Vrindavan Dham. Where are my friends, relatives, where has everyone gone?" He said, "Krishna has shown me the naked form of material nature. Everything has become tasteless by His mercy." And then Prabhupada said, "This is misery, but it gives me a laugh. I sit alone here in Vrindavan Dham and I laugh at how Krishna has taken away everything from me." There in Vrindavan Dham, alone, penniless, a mendicant, Srila Prabhupada was personally perceiving Krishna's presence in his life. So whether Srila Prabhupada was looking at the deities, whether Srila Prabhupada was looking at a picture of Krishna, whether Srila Prabhupada was sitting in the holy Dham, whether Srila Prabhupada was asking Krishna questions and making decisions, whether Srila Prabhupada was arguing with the atheists, at every moment he was perceiving Krishna's presence in his life. And this is Krishna consciousness. Not just to see Krishna philosophically, but to actually see Krishna practically in our life. So, Kamalakanta Vishvas was seeing Advaita Acharya philosophically. Yes, Advaita Acharya is an incarnation of Godhead. Correct. But Kamalakanta Vishwas was not then interacting appropriately with Advaita Acharya in his daily life because he was seeing Advaita Acharya as a debtor. He is not a debtor. And so, what we're trying to do is actually see Krishna very practically manifest in our life. Now we hear these stories of Srila Prabhupada and we may think that's too far. That's the vision of a ragatmika bhakta. That's a vision of a pure devotee. I don't have that kind of vision. Once I was in a class a devotee was giving, and someone stood up and said, "Can you see God? Can you see God?" And this speaker, the way he answered it, it was amazing. He looked at this person and he said, "You know, I can't say I've seen Krishna's face. I can't say I've seen Krishna's face. But I see Krishna's hands every day. I can't say I've seen Krishna's face. Because to see Krishna's face, one requires prema, love. Isn't it? Sri Radha Govinda Prema Shadayena Basi. You know, I'm swimming in the ocean of love for Radha Govinda. We may not be swimming in the love of Sri Sri Radha Govinda, and therefore we may not be able to see Krishna's face." He said, "So I have not seen Krishna's face, but I see Krishna's hands every day. I see how Krishna is arranging, intervening, supporting, guiding, providing at every moment. And therefore, maybe the first step in seeing Krishna practically in our life is that we try to become more and more sensitive as to how Krishna is actually intervening at every moment in our life. How Krishna is providing what we lack, carrying what we have. And in this way, how Krishna, as he says, I'm in the heart, guiding the wanderings of all living beings." Maybe this is a more practical way in which we can begin to see Krishna in our life. We see Krishna's arrangements. And this requires some sensitivity to see how Krishna is manifesting. But really, this is what Krishna consciousness is. Krishna consciousness, I'll repeat what Devamita Maharaj said, Krishna consciousness is not just a process to philosophically believe in Krishna. Krishna consciousness is a process by which to practically perceive the personal presence of Krishna in our lives. And that's really the gift that is being offered by Srila Prabhupada. And so, just to sketch today, we talked a little bit about the different types of atheism that are there, and how particularly something called psychological atheism, where we philosophically accept Krishna, but then we ignore Krishna in our life. How this type of atheism may be an atheism that is affecting us. And in this way, we're thinking about Srila Prabhupada and how he showed us the example of someone who was not only dedicated to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the philosophy of Krishna, but Srila Prabhupada, who in so many ways showed throughout his life how he was practically perceiving the presence of Krishna. And so that is an aspiration for us, to see Krishna in our life. And on that journey to seeing Krishna, maybe an intermediate step is that we can actually, even if we don't directly see Krishna, to actually see how Krishna is at least making arrangements in our life and how the hand of God is right there at every moment. So those were some thoughts on this verse and these pastimes of Kamalakanta Vishwas. Of course, many lessons can be drawn out from this, but this is one lesson that I thought was very relevant to at least my life and maybe your life, and therefore share some thoughts on that. And we have a few minutes if anyone has any corrections or comments or further illuminations. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for your wonderful class. Yeah, I was just thinking what you speak about seeing God or not seeing God. And I remember Prabhupada always explaining, due to his guru, his own Guru Maharaj, don't try to see God, but try to, God sees you.
Yes.
So that's a very important point. And maybe you could explain, because I don't remember exactly, in the Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, a book from Bhaktivikashami, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta himself said, one kind of scientist or something came to him and asked him, can you see God? To Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, directly. Do you remember what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said? If you can explain this. I don't remember actually this past time. If you can, maybe if you do remember.
Mm-hmm. I'll address your first point. Sometimes we hear seemingly contradictory things. On one hand, we hear, don't try and see God, but act in such a way that God will want to see you. On the other hand, we hear the Goswamis were running through Vrindavan. Hey Radhe, Brajadevi ke Chalalite. O Krishna, O Radharani, where are you? Eagerly searching for Krishna. This mood, when will I see Krishna? When will I see Krishna? So it seems like a contradiction. On one hand, we're told not to see Krishna. And then on another hand, we're told to eagerly search for Krishna. And I think the reconciliation comes that we should be eager to see Krishna, of course. But we should not force ourselves, or we should not rather expect. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshmana Namani ki jai. We should not expect that if I do this, this and this, then Krishna will come to me. Then Krishna has to come to me. So, yes, we perform our duty and we eagerly search for Krishna. But at the same time, as Brahma says in his prayers, we patiently await the mercy. So there is a sense of great eagerness and there is simultaneously a sense of patience and awaiting the mercy of Krishna. And in this way, yes, don't try and, you know, force Krishna into your presence. But at the same time, eagerly search for Krishna in a mood of humility and great eagerness, like that. So I think there's a reconciliation there. Yes, Jayadev Prabhu.
Very much enjoyed it. It was great. I haven't heard your classes before, so that was a real treat for me. Thank you. You were talking about Mayavad philosophy and personalism. I can't speak louder, but I'll bring the microphone closer. you were speaking about Mayavad philosophy, and I just wanted to say something about some books I read some years ago, Conversations with Srila Prabhupada, and in it, the leader of the Transcendental Meditation TM, a group, Maharishi's leader in Texas. He was the person who's responsible for Maharishi's activities in Texas, which is a big state, as you know. And Maharaj used to come there and stay with him. And he said every day he would go and have his conversation with God, or he would speak with God. Which God that was, no one could really know because of the Mayavad kind of duplicitous way of seeing things. And one morning he said, Maharishi Mahashogi came out. He was looking extremely grave. And he said to him, what have you realized today, Master? And he wouldn't speak for a while, and then he spoke and he said, Krishna consciousness is the topmost form of yoga. So I think that And he said to him, why didn't you tell me before after I spent all this money getting all these Ains, Klings and all the other varieties of Bijas from you, you know. So, and then he became a devotee after that. But it seems like even these great or so-called great leaders, they also, in their moments of truth, get a little blessing from time to time whereby they realize the absolute truth.
Yes, thank you. So I think we should end there, right? This time is up. Yes, okay. Thank you very much for your attention. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.